Go ahead and code, please. Honourable ladies and gentlemen, I shall refer to you as my lords and my ladies for the duration of the proceedings. And if we might have the children silent as well. Okay. The case for the prosecution is as follows. There are three main objections to our faith. The first is that the Bible is not true. It's not historical, it's not factual, it's not true. The second is that the Bible has been lost in translation due to the number of copies of copies of copies. And the third objection is Jesus, that Jesus wasn't true, he's not the Messiah, and he wasn't really there. Now this morning, through a factual basis and leading factual evidence, not circumstantial, factual evidence, I will, without a shadow of a doubt, prove to you that the Bible is true, the Bible is accurate, and that Jesus died for our sins. The first is, the case for the prosecution says that the Bible isn't true. Now, with respect, my lords and my ladies, I disagree. The Bible has been copied 5 billion times. 5 billion copies of the Bible have been sold. 5 billion. In 2,900 languages. These are facts. These can be researched if you would. 98% of the world's population has received the Bible in some way, shape, or form. 98%. There are zero contradictions in the Bible. Not one. Not one contradiction. Despite having 40 authors over 1,500 years and in three continents. Just for the sake of the conversation, if I ask five people in this audience to write a story of a Springbok rugby game, I guarantee that there will be discrepancies. However, there's not a single discrepancy in the Bible. Not one. There are zero archaeological contradictions in the Bible. Not one. There are zero archaeological finds that have proved the Bible to be not true. Zero. The Bible consists of 66 books, a library of books that are intricately interwoven to give us an accurate picture of God and His Son Jesus. God inspired the Word to be written by people. And it says, all scripture is God-breathed in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And finally, ladies and gents, my lords and my ladies, we are all here. We can testify to that truth. Secondly, the prosecution says the Bible has been translated so many times that it cannot possibly be accurate. There must be discrepancies. With respect, again, I disagree. Let me give you some facts. How many copies of the New Testament? Let's just focus on the New Testament now, not for the sake of brevity. How many copies of the New Testament are there currently? 5,800 in Greek, more than 10,000 in Latin, in other languages, Coptic, Syriac, and Hebrew, more than 10,000. And this is all before the printing press was invented. These are handwritten copies. That is a total of more than 25,000 handwritten copies of the New Testament. But if that is not enough, my lords and my ladies, we also have references from the church fathers who quote the New Testament no fewer than 1 million times. If this is difficult to understand, let me compare it to some other ancient manuscripts. Roman and Greek manuscripts, of which we have an average of 15 per writer. Does Rome exist? It does. I submit it does because I've been there. Does Greece exist? I submit it does because I've been there. How much more? 25,000 manuscripts, all before the printing press. Let me give you a second example, my lords and my ladies. The first ancient manuscript, non-biblical, is 300 years after it was written initially. The 25,000 biblical scriptures, less than a decade after it was initially written. Less than 10 years. If this is still not clear, my lords and my ladies, let me give you a last example. If you take all the Greek and Roman manuscripts of about 15 average, and you stack them on top of each other, they would be about as high as this podium. This high. I submit to you that if we take the 25,000 versions of the Old Testament that are around 300 pages each, if we stack them on top of each other, they'd be twice the height of Table Mountain. That, I submit, my lords and my ladies, is a resounding victory. Then we look at Jesus. What is a mathematical probability of Jesus having existed and fulfilling all 300 Old Testament prophecies? What is the mathematical probability? Let me give you the probability of Jesus fulfilling just eight prophecies. And let me give you those prophecies. Christ was born in Bethlehem, Micah 5 verse 2. Christ was preceded by a messenger in Isaiah and Malachi. Christ was to enter Jerusalem on a donkey, Zechariah 9. Christ was to be betrayed by a friend, Psalms 49 and 55. Christ was to be sold for 50 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11. The money is to be thrown in a potter's field, Zechariah 11, verse 13. Christ is to be silent before his accusers, Isaiah 53. And Christ is to be executed by crucifixion. And I note that crucifixion at that stage did not exist as a punishment. The probability mathematically, and this was calculated not by myself, but by a scholar called Peter W. Stoner, who's the chairman of the Department of Mathematics and Astronomy in America, was 10 to the power of 17. Let me read that for you. 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. That is the likelihood of one person fulfilling just eight of the prophecies. Let me give it to you this in an example that you can understand. If we filled the Western Cape with 2 rand coins and we painted one red, and you walk around the Western Cape, my lords and my ladies, and you pick up one coin, that is the likelihood of Jesus fulfilling all of those prophecies. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the problem with Jesus Christ is not that people cannot believe in him, is that they won't. And I submit to you this morning that the case for Christ has been made out, and we will worship him now in spirit and in truth. Amen. Can the worship team please come up, and I can get out of character now. Lord, your word says that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Well, thank you that we know that you were there in the beginning, Lord. Your word says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are so good, Lord. Lord, thank you that you are truth. Thank you that we can stand upon that, Lord. We've had a couple of prophetic words, and I know that we're lingering a little bit, but I want us to keep our hearts in an attitude of worship as we sit down and we are ministered to from the Word of God. And I think Andrew's got a wonderful message that he's going to share. So we can find our seats, keep your hearts in this posture of worship. Thank you, worship team. That was amazing. So we are very, very privileged to have the Honorable Mr. Winston Churchill share with us this morning.
We shall beat the rebel!
Okay, sorry, by show of hands, are there any Germans here this morning? I'm sorry, that was a cruel joke. Okay, so my good friend and elder, Andrew, is going to share with us. He's also our hub leader, so Andrew, what you share goes, and we look forward to hearing what God has to say through you. So can we just pray for Andrew before these shares? And we're not just praying for what Andrew has to share. We're praying for our hearts to be ready. Because the Bible speaks about seed that is sown, and he's going to sow seeds this morning. And I want to pray that our hearts are postured in such a way that we receive the seed well. Okay. Lord, as Andrew shares, Father, I pray that the seeds that are sown of your word would find fertile soil, Lord. I pray that we would open our hearts wide, our minds wide, our ears, Father. I pray for attentive hearts, and I pray that the living water of the Holy Spirit would come and water those seeds, and they would find fruit in us, Lord, that they would grow. Lord, that we would hear and experience your truth this morning. Amen.
Thanks, Advocate. Hello, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Andrew East. My wife, Liz, probably a few of you will know more than I do. I mean, not more than I do, but know more than me. Let me start by asking you this question. How many of you have read the Bible all the way through? Every verse, every chapter, all the way through. I have done it a number of times, and there are many formats in which you can do it. You can do it end-to-end, like any book. You can do it chronologically. You can do one in the old, one in the new, or two in the old, one in the new, etc., etc. I encourage you to do it. Go and read the Bible. It is the living Word of God. My school motto was verbum tuum veritas. I am not of a Latin heritage, so I don't know if I pronounced that right. But it means, thy word is truth. Your word is truth. And it comes out of John 17:17. And this morning, what I want to do is something a little bit different. It says in Timothy 4:13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. We do have a lot of preaching and teaching, don't we? This morning, we're going to do some public reading of Scripture. Well, I am. Okay? And what I want, just remember that it's been said, I think, a number of times this morning. I think Andre said it just now. The Word of God is living and active. He made a case for the Word of God this morning. It's real. It's live. It's living and active. But more than that, it says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrows, and discerning the very thoughts and intentions of our hearts. That's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? Parents, can I ask you to really encourage your children to listen up? This is the Word of God. I know they probably won't be able to concentrate on much more than a few verses as I go through some of these chapters, but encourage them to listen to the Word of God. It's living and active, even for a four-year-old. So I'm going to read some chunks of Scripture. Just like in the old days, Jesus, we've seen examples of him. He went into the temple, he pulled out Scripture, opened the Torah, and just read chunks of Scripture. So if Jesus can do it, Jesus did it with power, I hope I can do some as well. So I'm going to look at Jesus, the man. Again, the case has been made about this Jesus. He fulfilled 8 prophecies that there's been evidence of. Actually, he fulfilled 300. I'm going to give you a few more as well that he fulfilled as we read. So I'm going to read about Jesus, the Messiah foretold, Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, Jesus, the Lamb and the Eternal King. Three different ways of looking at Jesus. And I want the truth to penetrate your heart. So will you this morning, we're going to put all the words up so you can listen, you can read, but whatever's easiest for you, let the word penetrate. If you want to shut your eyes, if you want to go lie down in the corner, don't mind what you do. Let the word penetrate your heart this morning. And then towards the end, when I read a couple of chapters in Revelation, I want us all to participate at some point, but I'll give you a clue when we get there, okay? Okay, let's kick off with Jesus, the Messiah foretold. We're starting in Isaiah chapter 9. Jesus, will you just help us to quieten our hearts now? Holy Spirit, will you reveal Jesus to us? That's what you do, but will you do it afresh to us this morning? That we will see Jesus, the wonderful Jesus, in a new way. Holy Spirit, reveal him to us this morning, we ask. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut out off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring, He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. That was Jesus, our Messiah, foretold. Now let's look at Jesus, the Son of Man, Son of God. John chapter 1. Probably one of my favorite scriptures. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about that light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let me just read that one again. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We were born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Jesus has made God known to us. And then 1 John 1 and most of chapter 2. That which was from the beginning we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us all from sin, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. My children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Jesus the man. Okay, let's look at Jesus the Lamb and the Eternal King. In Revelation 1, verse 3, I don't think I gave this verse, it says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Blessed are those who hear, that's each one of us, and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Okay, we're going to read Revelations 4 and 5, and there are going to be portions of it where I want you all to read with me. So when heaven is making a proclamation like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, I want you all to join in. I'll lead you, but can we all join in? We do that? Okay, I'll prompt you as we go. Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I'll show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit. This is the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, his revelation that he received from the Christ there. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes, in front and behind. And the first living creature, like a lion. The second living creature, like an ox. The third living creature, with the face of a man. And the fourth living creature, like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, ready? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who is seated on the throne, and worship him who lives forever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Chapter 5, then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. Can you imagine his desperation, his sadness, that no one at that moment, he thought, was found worthy to open the scroll? And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voices of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads, and thousands upon thousands, all saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Shall we say it again? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Amen. Let's just see la there. Let's just have a pause there. We allow the scripture to penetrate. There may be a few verses there that really stood out to you. Just allow the scripture to penetrate. Paulette had a word earlier which I wanted her to share at this point before I go on.
I had such a sense. I know this morning looks different in the format than what we're used to, but of God's authoritative sovereignness in our lives. And as I was standing worshiping, it's like He took me out of this busyness of life, and I could just see the vastness of Him stretching out forever. His glory and His big. And I was reminded of David facing a Goliath and God giving him 5 stones. And I felt like He was saying to us, it looks different today, but what is in your hand in that 5 stones? You carry God, you carry Jesus, you carry the Holy Spirit, you carry the church, which brings us together. And then there's your spirit that God has created. We were created to be spirit, to be in and dwell in God's presence. And that's the truth. That same spirit that is in Jesus is in us. And all of this one day will fade away. In the beginning of the year, God showed us a picture. And He reminded me of it again. Like, we will stand, as we read in the Revelation, among the Lamb, before Him, presenting our lives. And the only thing we can hold on our plate are the souls of the people that we presented to Jesus. Nothing else. Everything else will be stripped away. The only truth is that God is forever and forevermore. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Nothing that we do here today, all the chasing after the wind and the busyness, can we take with us to heaven and present before Jesus, except the souls of other people among us.
Thank you. So I don't know how that word has impacted you. Maybe there's people here who don't know this Jesus, don't know this man, this Son of God who was hung on a cross, who died for us, who's now risen again and gone to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. There may be people who don't, you've never known this Jesus, but something inside you right now is saying, I need this man. There is something about this man which I have neglected all my years, and I need Him. Can we all stand, please? If that is you, will you raise your hand? If there's something, if God has been stirring in your heart and you don't know Jesus, but you'd like to come to know Him today, would you raise your hand? Do not delay. I implore you. I encourage you. I exhort you. Do not delay. He's knocking on the door of our heart. It says in Revelation that He stands at the door and knocks. He's knocking on your heart right now. Will you let Him in? Will you respond to Him? You may be a bit too embarrassed to respond right now, but please, if that is you, will you come and find me at the end? Or will you come and find Andre? Or Steph? Or Lucas? Some of the elders in the church here? Come and find us. We'd love to pray with you and introduce you fully to this man, Jesus, to the Son of God. For the rest of us, maybe something has triggered in your heart. and you want to change your ways. You want to repent of perhaps some of the things you have been doing, the direction your life has been taking. We're going to have a time of just singing a song now, but for those of you who would like prayer, will you come forward whilst we're singing this song? Who, you know, there's something that you need to change. There's something that you need to put right. Okay. Will you come forward whilst we worship?